I do remember that I came here several years ago. It could have been 10. I'm not too sure. But my problem is I can never remember what exactly I spoke in each place. And you know, the problem of these preachers is when they're sitting down, they're thinking, did I speak this year or not? You know, that kind of thing. And so I've found a solution to that problem. So what I say is, like, if any of you have heard this message before, I'm so glad you're hearing it again. So that's the way I go at it. But tonight I've been reminded that last time when I came here, I spoke a series on 1 Peter. Thanks a lot, brother. I'll write it down and keep it for next time, 10 years later. Okay. All right. I loved it when you mentioned the song, More About Jesus. You know, I often feel like this, that I keep going to various places for preaching the Word of God. And there was a time in my life early in 1964 when I was being invited here and there outside. I had to preach in Mangalore. And my wife's father, Samuel Thayil, some of you may know him, have heard of him. He also was a preacher, and I was a preacher also. And I spoke the last message. When I finished, I thought I did a marvelous job. Some preachers think like that. You know that, isn't it? I thought I did a marvelous job. And I came down from the stage, and all the people had gone out. Nearly everybody had gone out. Mr. Thayil was still there waiting for me. I thought, here it is. He's waiting for me to appreciate all that I said. I went down. He put his arm around me. And then he says, that was a good message. Then you know how I felt. But, he said, there was not one mention of Christ in it. You get my point? Then all of a sudden, like the balloon, you know, you poke the balloon and it's flat. That's how I felt. What's left? From that time onward, I've been very conscious of the fact that wherever I go, I must speak about Christ. Even if my subject is something else, if I could bring him in. So this time I've come with another series that the Lord has put on my heart to do from tomorrow. But when I was asked to speak this evening, I readily said to Dr. Koshi Matthew, I said, I'll do that. And then the first thing that came to me was this subject that I'm going to bring before you. By the way, what time do you finish? 8:30? Yeah? So this subject is the littleness of Christ. I don't know whether you've considered that kind of a thought about Christ. You've always thought of the greatness of Christ, haven't you? Of how marvelous he is, how great he is, how wonderful he is. And at the worship meeting, we want to talk in those terms, do we not? And yet, have you ever considered the littleness of Christ? Now, to say, talk little of people would mean to sort of, it'll be demeaning, it's disparaging, you bring him down lower, you know, that kind of a thing. That's the way sometimes we treat others, talk about them. That's not good. On the other hand, the word little, if you add a B in front of it, it is belittle. You get what I mean? What is belittle? Belittle is to reduce a person to nothing. Even if he's something, you talk about him in such a way that you belittle him. He's not that little. He's really great, and yet you belittle him. That's what we say. So to belittle is another thing. And somebody has said to belittle is to belittle. You get my point? To belittle is to belittle. So therefore, we are looking at this subject, the littleness of Christ. Christ is great. Christ is marvelous. He's altogether lovely. That's the conclusion we come to. That's true. Now, is there anything in the Bible which speaks about the littleness of Christ? I'm not saying belittle. We'll come to that a little later. But anything about the littleness of Christ. Now, where would you begin if you want to begin about somebody's life? Answer, it's at his birth, is it not? Okay, we'll go to that now. Where was he born? Okay, it's not a quiz question or anything. And you don't have to think too hard. Where was he born? Bethlehem. Do you remember a verse of scripture with Bethlehem in it? Eh? Somebody is saying something? See, you talk of his birth, it comes in Micah. Take a look at it. Now, I'm going to give you several verses tonight, so you'll have to quickly turn. And if you want to write it down, you write it down. But here it is, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Somebody read it quickly. And thou, Bethlehem, come on, read it quickly. And thou, Bethlehem, Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, though thou be what? Little. Bethlehem, little. You are little among the thousands of Judah, thousands of cities, marvelous cities. But when you look at Bethlehem, you're the least significant. Sometimes when you think about little, you're talking about significance or insignificance. You're talking about the littleness or the, you know, not known so well, unknown or known. So Bethlehem, you're saying, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth. What does it say? The one who shall be ruler in Israel. The one who shall be the king out of the little Bethlehem. Now, for instance, take a look at that same chapter and look at verse 12. Who do you read about?
And I will cut off witchcraft out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayer.
Okay, now we are reading Micah, are we not? Yes. Okay, now let me get that verse correctly for you. Micah and chapter 2. Okay, chapter 2. Okay, Micah chapter 2, and you're looking at Micah chapter, did I say 2?
Yes.
No, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. 5 verse 2, thou Bethlehem. Come with me now to a little later, verse 6, not 12. They shall waste with the sword the land of Assyria, and the land of Nimrod at its entrances. Have you heard of Nimrod? Have you? Where do you find it? In the book of Revelation? No, you see it in Genesis, don't you? Genesis chapter 10. And in Genesis chapter 10, verse 1 to 12, you read all about this man. When you come to verse 12, you see that he's a mighty hunter, and he's the ruler, and Babel is connected with this man. Babel or Babylon is connected with this man called Nimrod, and he was the first world emperor. emperor of the great kingdom, the first kingdom that came was this Nimrod's kingdom. And he is a figure of the Antichrist that will always come. And you find it in Micah chapter 5. It's where you read about the ruler that shall come. Did you not read just now? The ruler that shall come. Thou Bethlehem, out of thee shall come forth a ruler. Mighty ruler. And that's the Lord Jesus. In that very same chapter, immediately what have you got? Nimrod. You know, this kind of a conflict was going on from the beginning. When the Lord Jesus Christ, he was in heaven, wasn't he? Before he came. Okay. And the Lord Jesus came. But before he could come, you remember the time when Lucifer was at the throne of God? The two mighty archangels, and Lucifer was one of them, the covering cherub, if you please. And yet Lucifer thought, I will be like the Most High God. That's in chapter 14 of Isaiah. I will be like the Most High God. I will be like God. I will sit as God sits. Have you read that verse before? I'm not asking you to go into it deeply into it actually, but I'm telling you, please believe me, it's there. Lucifer says, I will sit as, tell me, as God sits. Where does he want to sit? Answer, let God sit where he sits, but I will sit as he sits means on the right hand of God. That seat of inconceivable authority and power and might. He says, I want to sit there. But he was cast down. Was he not? He was cast down. And that seat is prepared and kept for Shiloh, the one whose right it is to sit on that throne. You've got a competition there right from the start. And therefore you find, okay, when Christ comes into this world, when he was born, he wasn't born in any kind of a pompous kind of a situation, did he? Was he? Then what? He was born? He was born and laid in a manger. Mind you, in an inn. Laid in a manger, the eating trough of those animals that were there. That's where he was laid. He was little. Belittled. He was little. Alright, take another word, okay? John chapter 1 verse 21, you know it, everybody knows it, don't look at it. What did John say about the Lord Jesus Christ? Come on, everybody. Behold. Fantastic, man. 10 on 10 for you. I don't know who I'm looking at. Right. Right, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away. We think, oh John, how marvelous. He saw the Son of God coming and he says, behold the Lamb of God. That John, what gives you the idea that he's the Lamb? Ever asked him that question? John, what's wrong with you? You came there, you are the greatest of all the prophets. You're the one who is the last prophet of all the prophets, and you're the one who's going to introduce him into this world, and you're introducing him as the Lamb. Now what gives you that idea? Now take another John, our John the Apostle, okay? Now you have to read in Revelation chapter, I'm just quoting this so that you all can get it. Revelation chapter 5, and you've got a verse over there. In verse 5 and 6, chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. And an angel said to John, by that time John was taken up to glory. John the apostle, taken up to glory. There he was, with all these things around him, and he couldn't believe his eyes and believe his ears. At that time, one of the angels said to him, behold, finish it. Somebody finish it. Exactly. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Wow. the king of all the animals, which represents the ruler, if you please. Behold the lion of, that's what the angels of God looked there and saw this person, and he says, behold the lion of the tribe of Judah. Judah means you're talking about king, the kingly line, the line of the kings. And he says, behold the lion of the tribe of Judah. And John said, and I turned and I looked. And what did he see? Does anybody remember? And I turned and I saw one like unto the Lamb of God, a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. In the eyes of those angels and the cherubim and the seraphim and the elders and the host of heaven, what did he look like? Tell me. What? Not lamb. Both words begin with the letter L, I know that. The lion, they all looked at him, and to them he was the lion of the tribe of Judah. But to the believer, and there's only one representative there of a believer like us, and that's John. To the believer, what did he look like? The Lamb of God. I tell you, when you come to Isaiah 53, don't turn to it, I'm just telling you, believe me, it's there, okay? What does he say about the lamb and about the sheep? Somebody say, he was led as a sheep. No, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb. Here you are, you're looking at him. The John the Baptist is saying, this is the Lamb of God. All right, say one thing more, John. As a lamb, he's dumb. He doesn't say a word. What mockery. What spitting. What shame. What hatred. What kind of a subject he was for the songs of the drunkards who were around the cross. That's the kind of thing it was. And yet, he didn't open his mouth. The Lord Jesus Christ. A lamb who couldn't open his mouth. A sheep who was being sheared but couldn't open his mouth. The littleness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, let's go to another scripture, right? I've given you 2 points already. Let's go to another scripture. The insignificance of his family. Have you ever thought about that? Insignificance of his family. I'm talking about Mary and Joseph and his brothers and so on and so forth. Take a look at Mark chapter 6 and verse 3. When somebody gets it, you please read it loud. I'll be happy to hear that. All right? Mark chapter 6, verse 3.
Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph?
All right. Here we are. Is not this what? Everybody say. Is not this the carpenter? And in another scripture they say, is not this the carpenter's son? The carpenter's son, and he himself is a carpenter. At least if he was an IT specialist, it will be a different story. Isn't it? No, he's a carpenter. All he knows is to drive nails into the wood. Is not this the carpenter? And he said, do we not know his mother Mary and his brother Joseph and the other brother and the other Jude and so on and so forth? They're all with us. What an insignificant family. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. And I'm not too sure. I think it is verse 53. Matthew 13. Is it 53? Matthew 13, now it came to pass when Jesus...
Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables,
yeah,
that he departed from there.
Yeah. When he had come to his own country,
he brought them in their synagogue,
yeah,
so that they were astonished and said,
Yeah.
Where did this man get this wisdom?
Where did this man get this wisdom? Have you ever heard people speak like that? And when they speak like that, it's really belittling a person. Where did this man get all this knowledge? In other words, this man should be ignorant. He doesn't know anything. He never sat at the feet of any Gamaliel or anything of that sort. We know him where he comes from. He says, where did this man get all this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? And is not his mother Mary? Is not Mary his mother? Brothers James, Joseph, Simon, Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? Can you get the feel of it? They were belittling him. I mean, tearing him apart, reducing him to nothing, as it were. In other words, he and his family are of no consequence. They are nothing in the society. Look at us. We Jews, we Pharisees, we elders, and so on and so forth. Look where we come from. See the royal blood that is flowing through our veins. Look at him. Okay, let's leave that thought alone. Is there any other way that they belittle him? Luke chapter 9, verse 58. Luke 9 and 58.
And Jesus said,
1 minute. We all got it? No? Luke 9:58. All right, read, son.
And Jesus said unto him,
yeah?
Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests.
But wait. What's the rest of the verse? But the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He could not even call a pillow his own. That's what it says. And at the end of John chapter 7, you know what it says? And every man went to his house, but the Lord Jesus, it says Jesus, but Jesus, you remember that or not? Every man went to his house, but Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. And there he prayed. Why? Because he had nowhere to lay his head. Can you imagine? Such a mighty God who created the universe, created all of us, created every single thing that you can even just bring to your mind. It was his marvelous touch that brought it into being, and yet he has nowhere to lay his head. What kind of a person is this? No wealth, no riches. All right, one more thing. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 and verse 2. Luke 15, verse 1, verse 2. Yes, thank you.
Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near.
Yes, brother, you said tax collectors and what?
And the sinners.
And sinners. Yeah, that's right. Go on.
Sinners drew near to him to hear him.
Yeah.
And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them.
Yeah. How do you like that? What kind of a man do you think he is? He receives sinners and he eats with them. In fact, he goes to where these sinners are. Now the Pharisee won't do that. And the scribes won't do that. But he did. So, you see, you tell a man but this is just a quotation from somewhere else, not the Bible. You can tell a man who boozes by the company he chooses. Have you heard of that? You haven't heard. Because none of you booze or anything. I know that. Not that I booze also. I don't booze. Where did I ever booze? No. But it's just a saying. Tell a man who boozes by the company he chooses. Now, look at his company. Just look at him. Sitting with those sinners. All those women and those men, adulterers, adulteresses, and those drunkards and the rottenness of them. And he's sitting with them. And added to that, what's he doing with them? Eating with them. I don't know, have you seen these Arabs eating? Any Arabs? Have you seen? What do? They hand out all the plates to each one of you, yeah? No plates, nothing. One central thing over there. I know it because we moved closely with an Afghan brother. And I've been there also, I've seen that. They put it all in the center and all of them tuck in. You know what I mean? Everybody put their hand, take it, take this, take that, take the other thing and eat. And I think it must have been very much like that in the days of the Lord Jesus and at other times. Now, just think of it. He's eating with them, putting their hand where they put their hand. And eating with them. In other words, he's identifying himself with this. With who? Sinners. Tell me. Sinners. With sinners. And thank God for that. Yes or no? Yes. Otherwise you and I will be nowhere. He identified himself with us. Hallelujah. Do you ever say that word in this assembly? Never? That's not a word for you people. It's for the, what you call those other people. You know what I mean? Other people. It's there. It's in their Bible. It's not in our Bible. The word hallelujah. It's not in our Bible. Well, don't believe me, eh? It is there. Hallelujah means? See, y'all don't even know the meaning. I know these people, you know. Hallelujah means what? Praise the Lord, exactly. That Yah at the end is Jehovah, Yahweh. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's the whole idea of it. There's nothing wrong with praise the Lord. Anyway, I'm not introducing any other doctrine here. Don't go and tell anybody, okay? All right. Now, having said and done that, may I go to one other very interesting thing. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Will you please look at verse 15? John chapter 7, verse 15.
And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied?
How does this man know
letters,
having never studied? That's, in English, when you see letters, you're only thinking of A to Z, isn't it? 26 letters. Yes or no? Say something, no?
Yes.
It's no. That's not it. In the Greek, you know what it is? How does this man know letters? The Greek word for that letters is grammata. From which word we get grammar? In other words, how does this man, like, let us say it's English, we would say, how does this man know English? In other words, that includes grammar and diction and everything, not diction, grammar and whatever you have to do with writing decent sentences and so on. How does this man know grammata, having never learned? He never went to the feet of Gamaliel or any of the sort. How does this man know letters? And what does it say in the next verse?
Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me.
Yeah, my doctrine is not mine, but my doctrine is from God the Father who sent me. Then if that's the case, what is this doctrine that they're all preaching, all these doctors of the law are preaching? You see what I mean? It's not his. It's something else. It's man-made. It's from somewhere else. That's why there's so much of confusion in this world. The Lord Jesus says, what I speak to you. See, the Jews marveled, not in wonder and amazement, but the Jews marveled they had indignation and jealousy. They were taken aback when they heard him speak. They were speechless. They were taken aback. In other words, they say to him, how they were saying to themselves, how dare this man speak? When we are standing there, he should not even feel like opening his mouth. But he's opening his mouth and speaking. What kind of a man could this be? Alright, take a look at chapter 7 and verse 20.
The people answered and said,
yeah,
thou hast a devil,
okay,
who goeth about to kill thee.
Say it again.
The people answered and said, thou hast a devil who goeth about to kill thee.
Who goeth about to kill thee? You're trying to insinuate that we want to kill you. Who goes about to kill you? You have a devil. Now you see where it's coming? They're slowly stripping him apart. Trying to strip. Now he's directly they're saying, you have a devil. Alright? Is that enough? Not enough. To look at another scripture. Verse 48. Did I say verse 48?
Yeah.
8:48. 7:20 you read, isn't it?
Yes.
Now 8:48.
Then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?
Alright, you see the increment of words there? In the previous verse, what did you read? Thou hast a devil. Now the increment of words are, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? So they're adding another dimension. You are a Samaritan. We look at you, you're an outcast, we turn the other side and spit on the floor because you're a Samaritan. Okay, that's the way they looked at him. You see how they despised him? So you are a Samaritan, and we say this rightly, and what we are saying is like gospel truth. Sorry. But that's what, you know, that's the way we talk. It's like, you are, and you do have a demon. Okay, another verse. Chapter 8 and verse 52 and 53.
Then said the Jews unto him,
yes?
Now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead.
And the prophet. Now we know that thou
hast
a devil, that you do have a devil. Go on.
Abraham is dead and the prophet.
Yeah.
Thou sayest, man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham?
Okay, all that argument said and done, what they are saying is, well, what are you talking about? He says, are you greater than our father Abraham? He says, now it's very clear from all of this that you do have a demon. You see how many times they said it? And do you know what the devil's, they're saying you have a demon. You know what the devil said about him? Turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 24. Now there was a certain man in verse 23 in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, meaning a demonic spirit. Okay? And he cried out, saying, read with me, everybody read with me verse 24, carefully now, saying, let us alone, what have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? Full stop, question mark. Stop there, don't go any further. What are we to do with you? He says, leave us alone. What have we got to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? In other words, they knew that he has come and has the right and the power to destroy them. Okay, now that's not sufficient. My point is the last line. Read the last line.
I know who you are.
I know who you are. Now actually, it's you've got the plural, we, in that verse, and at the same time you got the plural, you got the singular I. Very strange, isn't it? There are many demons, we do not know how many, a whole lot of demons in that man. And they all are talking together as one man. And he says, I know who you are. What, finish it?
The Holy One of
God. You are the Holy One of God. What did the Pharisees say? You have a demon. You see what I mean? What the religious men of the world, were these people who speak religion and wear robes and go about and preach the word, even take the same Bible and preach. And yet the devil comes along and you confront him with Christ, he has to say one thing. You are the Holy One of God. You get what I mean? It's amazing. There is a coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now not only you and I, not only all the unbelievers, but all the demonic forces of hell, including Satan himself, will have to bow. Not confess him as Savior. No, I'm not saying that. They will have to open their mouths. They'll one day have to confess, you are the Holy One of God. So you put all these things together and you find that it's a kind of belittling of Christ, constantly belittling him. They said all these things. Now then, let's leave them alone, okay? Let's leave the world and the demons alone. What did Christ do to himself? Somebody say to me. Brother, say it again. Yes, that's right. You got hit the nail on the head. Now in Philippians chapter 2, and verse 6, it says there, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery or a thing to be grasped at, saying, I want to be God. Why would he want to be God when he is God? That's the argument. Right? He is God. Why would he want to be God? No, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But in spite of the fact that he was God, he made himself of no reputation. You can't understand that, can you? The English is not nice over there. You should hear it in Hindi. Does anybody know? Alright, don't try. I'll tell you. He made himself shunya. You know what shunya is? Zero. Apne aap ko shunya kar diya. That means he made himself zero. What is he actually? Come on, somebody tell me in numbers, you tell me what is he? I'm not talking about numbers in the Bible. I'm talking about numbers in numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever it is. Tell me, what is he? Nobody knows in this church. Alpha and Omega. As far as you are concerned, who is he? What? You're not getting what? I don't think you're getting my question, isn't it? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is number one. As simple as that. For heaven's sake, write it somewhere. Okay? Write it, put it in your memory, do something. He is number one. And he shall always be number one. But it is at one point of time, this number one stepped aside backwards. If he went forward, he'll be number two. No, he stepped backwards. And when you step aside backwards from one, where are you? Zero. He made himself nothing. I know they all are trying to belittle me. They all want to see me reduced to nothing. But no, they have no right to make me nothing. I have the right to make myself nothing. Nothing at all. Beloved, in the scriptures, I don't take you to too many scriptures, but there are scriptures which tell us that God, you and I, are nothing, less than nothing, and worthless. In order to save us, he became nothing. Thanks be to God. Is that not identifying himself with us? Yes or no? Coming to where we are, coming to be like what we are, coming to our very level, and also coming and being made out of the dust of the ground, being made a man. He is God, the Spirit. He's a Spirit, he's God, very God of very God. That's what he is, and yet he deigned to become a man. When he became a man, it was not just for 33 and a half years, so that he'll die and then go back to heaven. No, he became a man, and today we have a man in glory, Hebrews tells us. Have you read that before? We have, say everybody, we have a man in glory. He's God, but at the same time, he's man, a man in glory. Praise be to God, a glorified man. In other words, we are as much part of him as he is part of us. What a beautiful thing. Oh, praise be to God. Not only did he make himself nothing, Psalm 22 verse 6, does anybody know that? Psalm 22, how it begins? Somebody tell me, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's verse 1. You go to verse 6, you know what it says? I am a worm. Psalm 22 verse 6. Write it down if you want. I am a what? I am a worm and no man. I am a worm and no man. You don't know the head or the tail of a worm, do you? When it moves about, you guess that that might be the case, but it's so insignificant. So worthless. You'd see a worm, you'd like to crush it, finish it. Nobody keeps worms as pets. I haven't heard. I am a worm writhing on the cross. When he's put over there, the way his body moved, he says, I am a worm and no man. He was made flesh. He was made inferior. He was made nothing. But the story doesn't end there, does it? On the third day, what happened? There was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. You're wondering, what is this preacher talking about? I mean, suddenly he's saying something else. But I'm just saying on the third day. But on the third day, what happened? Tell me. On the third day, he rose again. Who you called worm just now, who you and I called worm just now, you and I, standing with the Pharisees, we heard he's a demon and he's got a demon. Do we not rightly say he's a demon, etc., etc.? On the third day, having shattered the devil, having spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. And he says, removed our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. And when he had completely satisfied the demands of the law and of a holy God, he suffered the curse. He suffered the agony and the pain. And he looked upon God and God turned his face away from him. What more? What more rejection could he have had? He had that on the third day he rose again. Hallelujah. It only took another 40 days And then he was on his throne, lifted far above. And when he was lifted, you know what the language is used in the Bible? The kind of he was lifted up far above. Come on, everybody. Far above all principality and power and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. The Lord has been raised up, and my God, we do not have an idea, nothing, you can't even search and find out from books as to how high God has raised him. Far above all, that's the language. Far above all, he's raised up. And we are raised together with Christ. Hallelujah. And how far? How high? Say something. We are also raised with him far above all. Oh, brother. What a high privilege for the believer. You were a sinner and I was a sinner. All sinners sitting down, but saved by grace. Hallelujah. And lifted up together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for that. More about Jesus we want to learn. More of his holy will discern. More of the glory that we should be giving to him constantly. If you don't put it in words and you can't get the words, don't worry. You just think on him. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit within you will form the words and the sentence and groanings that cannot be uttered, which you don't understand. He will be worshipping God through your lips and through your heart. That's what the Bible tells us. Otherwise, what happens is you come together for a worship meeting, and if you say, I'm going to pray and all the same cliches and the expressions and all will come back to our minds. And sometimes you hear a person praying, every time he prays, he starts the same way. And he goes through the same lines. Listen, read the word. Be filled with the knowledge of him. Thoughts like this, what I'm talking about tonight. And then just bow your heads. Even if you don't say a word. Just worship him. Lord Jesus. Is this who you are? We love you. Thank you, Lord. You were belittled. You were made little. You were made nothing. So that we might be made something. God bless you.